right, Jake Junis, Dylan Bundy, awesome stuff. Steve Pierce has homered in three straight games. I have a new segment called Sarcastic Advice of the Day. And guys, I would say we've got a very, very strong crop of Team Name Tuesdays. Welcome to the show on Team Name Tuesday, April 10th. Adam, Heath, and working from home today with his dog in the background and a very long beard, Chris Towers. Hello, Chris.
To be clear, the dog doesn't have a long beard.
That's right.
I have a long beard.
Why are you both like rocking these big stupid beards? What is happening?
I'm just trying to see how long I can go until somebody tells me to shave, either somebody at work higher up than me or my wife, frankly.
I will have you know, I just had my beard trimmed. It is not a big stupid beard. It is a well-shaped beard.
Okay.
I have not trimmed my beard since Christmas, probably.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, it doesn't look bad. You look a little like Brian Wilson. So, baseball reference right there. All right, let's get to the standouts. I still want to clean up a little bit of what we missed yesterday with some of the weekend starting pitching performances. And maybe we'll get some shortstop replacements for Xander Bogaerts, who's out 10 to 14 days. Kind of dodged a bullet there. All right, so Dylan Bundy and Jake Junis both went seven innings. Gave up a combined two runs. Junis was scoreless, had a no-hitter into the seventh. Bundy struck out 10. Junis struck out 3. Bundy had 19 swinging strikes. Junis had 6 swinging strikes. Look, they're a different caliber right now, but both off to great starts. And kind of interesting that they don't really throw that hard for a right-handed pitcher this day and age. Heath, let's start with you. How much are you buying Dylan Bundy? How much are you buying Jake Junis?
I'm buying both at a certain level. I don't think the cost is still anywhere close to the same for between the two. So I'm buying Bundy in so much that he probably deserves to be into my top 40 starting pitchers now. I'm buying Junis to the extent that I think that until something goes wrong, you need to start him.
Chris, your thoughts?
I guess the question for me is going to be, is there a reason to think Dylan Bundy won't keep throwing his slider 25% of the time? He threw it 27 times on 101 pitches last night and got 12 swinging strikes. That's been the case for him. When he was throwing it a lot early last season, he was really good. When he was throwing it a lot late last season, he was really good. For some reason, there was about a three-month stretch in the middle of last season where he just stopped throwing his slider much, and he was bad. So it's probably as simple as that for me. If there's any reason to think he won't keep throwing it, I'm going to be worried. But for now, I really like what he's doing.
Would you take either of these guys over Johnny Cueto?
No.
I don't think I would, but Dylan Bundy's getting close.
I think you can make an optimistic case to take Bundy over Cueto in a roto format. I don't think there's any chance I could in points.
Are you going to be looking to sell Bundy or Junis?
I feel like Junis is going to be getting a lot of hype in the next few days in the fantasy baseball world, and I think it's a good opportunity to sell high. He's not getting strikeouts. He's not getting swinging strikes. I actually don't think his stuff is that bad. His breaking ball is pretty good, but right now it seems like we're getting a lot of luck from him, and if people start thinking that he's like a top 50, top 40 starting pitcher, I would look to move him.
I think 50's fair. And he's trying to go a difficult route. We were hoping in spring that we were going to see a lot more strikeouts, and strikeout totals were okay in the first game. I think top 50 is completely fair.
Okay.
If you get into the top 40 range, then yes, sell quickly.
There are pitchers with similar skill sets on better teams is my way of looking at it.
Yeah, the Royals are terrible, right? I mean,
well, that's the one thing that benefits
Junis.
They are terrible. I think they're going to lose 90 games. I'm not trying to argue that they're good.
Then I'm not kidding.
The one thing they've been good at so far this season, and it was kind of a question mark with Lorenzo Cain leaving, is the defense for Kansas City is still elite. They have caught the highest percentage of fly balls and line drives this season. If Junis gets to pitch half of his games in that park in front of a good defense, he's probably going to be top 50.
Okay. Well, we got a good Jake Junis team name coming up. Other standouts from Monday. What do you got for me, Heath? Who stood out to you?
Well, I was most excited to talk about Jake Junis. You just kind of stole my thunder.
All right, well, you can steal some of mine. I put some standouts right there in the notes for you. You can just copy off my paper.
just copy off your paper. I think I have to move Zach Godley up again. Scott was extremely excited about him coming into the year, and he has been – now, it was at San Francisco, so that helps a little bit, but he's been awesome.
Yeah, another righty who doesn't throw all that hard. But I guess it doesn't always matter. But breaking the mold a little bit. Zach Godley was among the aces who were just unbelievable yesterday. 7 scoreless innings, 20 swinging strikes, 9 strikeouts at the Giants. Can we talk about Steve Pierce? 3% owned. He has homered in 3 straight games. Chris, how owned should Steve Pierce, Blue Jays outfielder Steve Pierce, be?
22%.
That's way too high.
If he was playing every day, I think Steve Pierce is a good hitter. And he's got, is he just outfield eligible right now?
Yeah, I want to see him play second base, but he's not.
He's been second base in the past, and that would be pretty helpful. But the question for me is just playing time. He doesn't really have it consistently right now.
I think it's an easy path for him to get it. Grichik off to a terrible start. He snapped an 0-for-26 streak. Granderson's actually off to a good start, but he'll probably sit against lefties. And then I don't know if they would play him at second base, but I suppose they could. But I feel like if you believe in Steve Pierce to the point where he should be 22% owned, okay, like not completely buying in, there should be room for playing time there. And he's been hitting at the top of the order for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, he hit 4th yesterday. And to add some context to this discussion, Devin Travis has a 289 OPS.
Right.
And Aledmys Diaz has a 519 slugging, but he's hitting 222 with 0 walks.
I just don't know. I mean, I think part of the reason that Pierce has been elevated a little bit is the majority of his plate appearances. Like, teams put him in good spots against lefties. Against righties, he's been a below average hitter for his career.
Okay.
So I don't know how excited I would get even if he got the everyday playing time. I just don't think it's going to last.
Chris, how about you? Do you have a standout for us?
You know what? He blew a save last night, but I think Matt Albers is currently the Brewers' closer. He got the save opportunity, and he didn't pitch poorly. I was watching the game. There was a line drive off his glove that went for a hit. There was a Colton Wong sacrifice bunt that ended up just dying right in that no man's land between the pitcher and third base, so the bases were loaded there. He would have gotten out of the inning if either of those two balls had turned into outs. And then they left him in the 10th inning to get the win,
right,
to close out the game. So I think that's the guy to own for now. I wrote about that in the waiver wire column today.
I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, I was trying to make the case that Jacob Barnes didn't pitch that badly when he blew the save on Saturday because he gave up 2 infield singles and there was an error behind him. And that's exactly what happened to Albers. No error, but 2 infield singles. And he did blow the save, but it was weird because on Saturday, yeah, Barnes got the save chance. Albers had pitched the day before. Today, or yesterday rather, Barnes got 2 outs in the 8th and Albers came in for the save in the 9th. So, we'll see what happens. And I do think it was, like Chris said, encouraging that they let him go out and pitch the 10th after they took the lead off Greg Holland and he threw a scoreless 10th, got the win. So he got a blown save and a win in the same game. Albers is 16% owned. Barnes is 26% owned. Chris says that Albers is the guy to own. Heath, who would you rather own, Albers or Barnes? And it does appear that it is not Hader, who was awesome, but he pitched before those two.
He's just kind of like what we talked about with the Astros yesterday. Those guys are just two valuable teams. The smart teams have figured out to move into the closer role. I'm going to go with Albers. I do think his performance, while like they both had a blown save, his wasn't near as much his own doing.
But
so
he hit 2 infield singles and an error.
I understand, but he also had 2 walks and 0 strikeouts. Albers had 2 strikeouts and 0 walks.
One intentional walk. I agree with you. I'm just kind of busting your...
Speaking of that game, we should just mention Greg Holland looked like he hadn't pitched yet this year, which is weird.
4 walks. He issued 4 walks. Again, 1 intentional, but 4 walks and blew the game. He took the loss.
Walked the bases loaded. Walked in the tying, or the tying run for that one.
No, the go-ahead. He came in a 4-4 game in the 10th inning. And
you're right. You're right.
All right, so you know what? Let's jump ahead to the bullpen here since we're on the subject. Holland, terrible. Albers, we talked about. Ken Giles, they brought him in for 1 out. Chris Devensky got the first 2 outs of the 9th in a 2-0 game. And they kept Devensky in because Devensky is great against lefties, even though he's a righty, so they had him face the lefties. Giles comes in with, I think, a runner on third. nearly gives up a two-run homer. Ball goes just foul off Byron Buxton's bat. Then Giles gets the save. He gets a ground out. Alex Colomé struggled again, but he got his save. I don't know who they'd replace him with. Soria pitched in a non-save situation, probably just getting some work. He hadn't pitched in 4 days. Blake Parker did throw a scoreless eighth inning, but he pitched a scoreless eighth inning in a five-run game up by five. So that was not a save chance for Blake Parker. And then I don't think anything here. Andrew Miller and Archie Bradley got saves. Probably Cody Allen not available. I don't know why Brad Boxberger wouldn't have been available, though. He pitched on Sunday, but that was his only appearance over his last 3 days. So that was a little strange. But I think a lot of interesting developments in the bullpen. We already talked about the Cardinals and Brewers. So first of all, should the Greg Holland owner be like, oh, maybe I should pick up Gregerson? And then anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, anything else that you guys see with Giles, with Colomé, with Soria, with Parker, with Miller, or with the Indians, and with the Diamondbacks?
I'm not sure what's going on with Ken Giles. His velocity isn't down. He just hasn't been very effective early on, but he's gone through stretches like this, so I'm not ready to worry about that yet. And speaking of the Rays, I think if Colomé was to lose the job, maybe Jose Alvarado would be the guy. He throws really hard, lefty, so there's some concern there, but that'd be the guy I'm targeting in their bullpen.
Yeah, when I did my rankings update yesterday, I did drop Giles a few spots. It's not out of that range of closers that I feel pretty decent about, but he was too close to the top.
Yeah, I looked for Brad Peacock. Brad Peacock, unfortunately, is owned in many, many leagues. So I'm not sure you can get the handcuff to Giles, and Peacock got the save on Sunday. But I think the Blake Parker thing is interesting. Maybe they're just trying to get him going a little bit. He has been scoreless in three of his last four appearances, but guys, if Keenan Middleton is out there, how much do you want to pick him up?
I'm not super enthused about it.
Well, I think he might be the closer.
He might be the closer. I haven't lost enough closers this year to where I'm just out there looking on guys that might turn into the closer.
Here's the thing. I do find that closers have the most overinflated value of any position. So if you play in a league where saves are scarce and you can get a guy that becomes a closer, you can trade him, or you can trade one of your other closers. Sometimes you don't want to waste your time dropping a good player for an excess closer. I get that. But I don't think it's a bad idea to stock up.
Yeah, for me, it's just I'm at that point in the season where there's too many guys that I still want to stash to see if they can turn it around. Like you mentioned, Randall Grichuk's been off to a bad start. I still want to give him a chance, and I wouldn't necessarily drop him to speculate on someone who might become the closer who, like Middleton, he looks okay, but he's certainly not someone that I expect to be lights out. Like the strikeout rate's pretty good, but he's given up a ton of home runs in his career. So I'm not ready to speculate on those guys yet. I just don't think there's that much value in it.
All right, we have to have a very important intervention in about a minute. But right now, we have to tell you about something else that's very important. It's the SeatGeek app. Buying tickets can be very complicated, very confusing. Back in the day, I used to have to go on like five different websites. I used to sell my tickets, or buy my tickets, actually, on Craigslist. Thank goodness I didn't get like kidnapped or anything like that. But now it's all about SeatGeek. It's really the only place I go. I have the app on my phone. It's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets, and I can be anywhere. With just a few taps, I can instantly get seats. I love the SeatGeek app. It saves you time and it saves you money by searching multiple ticket sites. I just went to a Yankees game last week. I stayed for 12 of 14 innings, which I'm proud of, by the way. Didn't stay for the whole thing, but 12 was a lot. Cold weather. I just went to the Yankees game thanks to SeatGeek last week. Got a great deal. And if you use the promo code FANTASY, you'll get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. By the way, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Sports, concerts, comedy, theater, make SeatGeek your go-to app. And use that promo code FANTASY, that is promo code FANTASY, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Somehow, someway, Chris Towers forgot the SeatGeek promo code, but I was happy to give it to you, Chris, last week. And I was happy to know that you use SeatGeek. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm trying to find tickets to a concert this week, so I'm monitoring the SeatGeek app.
Good for you, good for you. I'm sure it will get you the best price. Now let's have an intervention. Heath, this is scary stuff. It is Tuesday, April 10th. It was about 9:05 a.m. Chris Towers was eating breakfast. He was having a chocolate chip cookie And what, like a, what were you having, a Capri Sun?
A Kool-Aid Jammers fruit juice box.
I mean, he has a death wish. It's time for an intervention here.
Yeah, I mean, just glad to hear there was no Diet Coke involved.
That's so my explanation is we were babysitting this weekend and we had a bunch of juices and then I made cookies last night. And like, really, is a chocolate chip cookie that much different than most breakfasts? Like, is that really worse than a pancake drizzled with syrup and butter?
No. I'm worried about the donut.
Have an energy bar.
I'm worried about the juice.
I have lots of energy.
The juice box is the bad one, Chris. There's a lot of sugar in there.
Oh, it's better than the Diet Coke.
I don't know about that.
No, I think these things are healthy. They're for kids. You can't make unhealthy things for kids.
Oh, okay, yeah, I stand corrected.
It's got fruit right on the cover.
Okay. I'm worried about you, so just, you know. But yeah, the Diet Coke's probably best to wean yourself off of that. Here is your sarcastic advice of the day. Everybody pick up Felipe Vasquez. Right? LOL?
I don't, what's the joke?
Felipe Rivero changed his last name to Felipe Vasquez.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real?
This kind of thing happens.
This is for real?
I didn't hear about that.
Felipe Rivero, I'm going to double check. Yep, changed his name to Felipe Vasquez.
I mean, that's happened. Like, Fausto Carmona became Roberto Hernandez, right?
Well, that was like a fake name. Right?
Didn't Giancarlo Stanton used to be Mike Stanton?
Yep. And there was one more. Yeah. One more I'm trying to think of. Oh, God, I just had it. Yolmer Sanchez. Wasn't he Carlos Sanchez?
He was Carlos.
Yeah.
There have been a few of those.
I don't know what's going to happen on CBSSports.com, but if you're looking at your team and you see you have Felipe Vasquez instead of Felipe Rivero, don't freak out. You have the same talented lefty. All right. The big news. Let's take a look at some short-term Xander Bogaerts replacements. He is out 10 to 14 days with a small fracture in his ankle. Do any shortstops come to mind for you fellas?
I mean, the first name I thought
about
was...
this. Yeah. Go ahead.
That was awesome. Yes. It's really good to be able to. Yeah. The first name that came to my head was Tim Anderson, but everybody bought in. I think he was 80% owned when I checked yesterday. So that's only going to be available in the most shallow of leagues. And I'm not even sure that I'd want Tim Anderson starting for me in the most shallow of leagues. So, yes, but I did write about this yesterday. As Drubal Cabrera and Ahmed Rosario are both under-owned, both had a pretty decent game last night. Rosario still has a ton of potential, and Cabrera has just been overlooked for like 2.5 years now.
Yes, I agree. I tried to get Scott to draft as Drubal Cabrera in the 16-team league. He was not interested. I've said it so many times. He has second base, third base, and shortstop eligibility. And he bats cleanup, or he bats leadoff. He bats, you know, Rosario unfortunately bats ninth for the Mets. But as Drubal's right there in the mix of it, he's 45% owned. He's less owned than Dansby Swanson. And I know Swanson's off to a good start, but he has 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Probably
that was actually the name I was going to bring up.
Okay,
you know, before the season, he was someone that I did actually draft in a few leagues, just because he was the number one prospect in baseball not that long ago. He's had. You know, he was bad last season, but he was pretty good in his major league debut in 2016. Let's not give up on that talent quite so quick. And now that he's off to a good start, yeah, he's someone I want to add.
All right, well, who would you rather have, Cabrera or Dansby Swanson?
I would probably rather have Dansby Swanson right now.
Heath?
I would definitely rather have Cabrera. Mostly, and this is maybe a wrong way of looking at it, but Xander Bogaerts is going to be back in 2 or 3 weeks. I'm not going to play 2 shortstops. I think Cabrera is going to be better in the short term, so that's what I'm banking on.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense too. Also, got Nick Ahmed on the list. If you want to look deeper, Nick Ahmed, 20%. Dixon Machado, 7%. Eduardo Escobar, 34% owned. Shortstop eligible now. Franklin Barreto. I don't think I've talked about that, but they called up Barreto. He could play in the outfield a little bit. Any interest in Franklin Barreto, guys?
I think we should be, yeah. I mean, he was bad last season when he got the call, but a pretty good prospect. Scott, I think, still had him in the top 40 fantasy prospects coming into the season. Is he going to play every day? That's the question. And Let's keep an eye on him. I don't think he's someone you want to add as your Xander Bogaerts replacement. He's someone you want to add maybe in a deeper league where you're looking for some upside.
All righty. That is Oakland shortstop, potentially outfielder, Franklin Barreto. More news. Lorenzo Cain kicked Jose Martinez's foot in a very awkward play. It was an accident. Martinez has a bruised Achilles, and Cain has a sore quad, and Martinez's injury seemed a little more serious. Do we have any updates on them and how long this might be for Martinez and Cain?
I haven't seen anything.
Yeah, it could move Carpenter to first base and sort of temporarily ruin his chances of gaining second base eligibility. So keep that in mind. Anthony Rizzo's on the DL. He is eligible to return in 6 days.
I want to point one thing out about the Anthony Rizzo injury. Is Victor Caratini has played third base 3 times this season, started. He's a catcher. He's going to play pretty regularly moving forward, at least for the next week or so, and has around an 800 OPS in the minor leagues. I think if Wellington Castillo wasn't around, he'd probably be somebody that we could talk about as a starting caliber catcher. So at least for the next week or so, he could be useful.
Yeah, I think you said Caratini's playing third base, first base. Dummy for the Cubs.
No, I said first.
Heath?
I heard absolutely 100% that he was playing third base.
Yeah, you said third. Let's have another
Victor
intervention.
Victor Caratini is playing first base, guys.
Yeah. Okay, so he will not be third base eligible.
Yeah, right, exactly. Rougned Odor, it looks like he is probably going to go on the DL with a hamstring strain, which is interesting. Jerks and Profar did replace him yesterday. But I think even more interesting, Joey Gallo had been moved down in the order. He'd been batting second, but the last 3 games, Gallo's been fifth or sixth, and Odor had been batting second. Maybe this gets Gallo up toward the top of the order more. But Odor,
they were trying so hard to find something to not start like this, I think, with Odor. Right.
I'm still interested in Jerks and Profar.
Really?
He is still only 25 years old, even though he made his major league debut 47 years ago.
Profar or Barreto? Who's a better Hail Mary?
Barreto.
Yeah.
All right. The Angels. So their next 3 starters beginning on Wednesday for the Angels could be Jaime Barria, Nick Tropiano, and Andrew Heaney. Do you want to pick up any of these guys?
I think Andrew Heaney's still pretty good if he's healthy. And we haven't seen a lot of that, but this was the top left-handed prospect in the game before he had Tommy John surgery. I want to see what he looks like. I actually did draft him in a handful of leagues very late, so... If he has a good start, I'm really interested.
I think my problem is just figuring out who that's on your roster you might drop for Andrew Heaney. Because I don't have any problem speculating on him. And if he were to get healthy, he could be a valuable guy depending on matchup. But I have a hard time thinking of pitchers I'm rostering that I would drop for Heaney.
Okay, well, maybe deep leagues, you take a look at Andrew Heaney. Alex Cobb's going to start for Baltimore at Boston on Saturday. I don't suggest you start him there. Joey Votto did not want a Philadelphia Phillies fan to get a foul ball. It was pretty funny. You can look it up. I won't get into it, but Votto likes to play tricks.
Because he's thrown the ball out of Wrigley Field a few times rather than give the foul ball to the fans. So I'm interested in what he did this time.
So last year he faked it to the Eagles fan or to the Phillies fans. He faked throwing it into the stands. This time, there was a slow rolling ball up the first baseline, foul territory, heading toward the stands. And instead of letting it get to the stands where a fan could reach over the wall and pick it up, Votto hauls ass, runs over after the ball, picks it up himself, and keeps it and does not let the fan get it. And then he was smiling afterwards.
Yeah, I think twice last year he just hurled the ball out of Wrigley Field.
Yeah, he's awesome. And JT Realmuto is close to beginning a rehab assignment. Team name Tuesday from me, keeping it Realmuto.
Mm.
All right, fine. Better ones coming up. Coming up, aces last night. Max Scherzer, complete game shutout, 10 strikeouts. And he stole a base. Corey Kluber, 8 scoreless innings, 13 strikeouts. And he did not steal a base. Justin Verlander, 7 scoreless innings, 9 strikeouts. It's like we knew we had these aces going last night. Who would be the best one? I don't know. Scherzer, Kluber, Verlander, they were all incredible. Syndergaard was good, but he hasn't been quite great yet, even though, you know, 4 walks, 22 strikeouts, and 16 innings. But Syndergaard has not thrown more than 92 pitches yet. He has not thrown more than 6 innings yet. And Syndergaard was pitching with 2 blisters on his hand. And then we have Zach Godley, 7 scoreless innings, 9 strikeouts, 20 swinging strikes, as already mentioned. Scherzer, Kluber, Verlander, Syndergaard, and Godley were the 5 aces. And putting Godley in this group is, is it deserved? I mean, look, I know he's not Scherzer and Kluber, whatever, but you kind of get the point. Is he close? What's your take overall on these 5 complete studs last night?
How about this? Zach Godley is better than Dallas Keuchel. How about that take?
In fantasy or in real life?
In fantasy.
I was going to go with his teammate.
Robbie Ray?
I'm moving Zach Godley up and trying to decide if he goes ahead of Robbie Ray. And I might put him right behind Robbie Ray and see how the next start goes. But like, at least he doesn't walk 5 batters per outing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, last year what we saw from him was a decent number of strikeouts, not necessarily elite, but pretty good. More than a batter per inning, a lot of swinging strikes, a lot of ground balls. The development of that curveball has been really important for him, and it's both a swing and miss and a ground ball pitch. It's really good.
Well, yeah. So Godley right there. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll take Godley over Archer right now.
Yeah, I won't.
No, just because Archer still has that elite strikeout rate and the big innings totals.
I can feel a little bit of tension building on the Chris Archer situation. I think we're building towards about 3 weeks from now. He has a 4.4 ERA, and he's just had another six inning, 3-run outing, and we're gonna get another ERA matters.
ERA does matter because this 2 years in a row where his ERA hasn't been good, and additionally, I want to give a hat tip to Steve. Steve from Toronto sent an email, and he, you know, I brought up the issue of, could you consider sitting Chris Archer in road games? And I would specify road games in small ballparks. And because over the last 2 years, in about 200 innings, 2016 and 17, Chris Archer has given up 37 home runs on the road, if you just look at his road starts. So Steve in Toronto broke it down. And he said in 2017, Chris Archer averaged 18.7 fantasy points per game at home and 13.5 fantasy points per game on the road. 5 fewer fantasy points per game. And in 2016, he averaged 13.4 fantasy points per game on the road. So 13.5 and 13.4 fantasy points per game on the road, that's not that good. And I'll just finish up by saying, especially in a points league, like he's not going to get a lot of wins. They're awful. He hasn't even gotten you a quality start yet, although his first start against Boston was very good. The 2 run
inside
the park home run.
A little more
done.
Passion.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I just think Chris Archer, he's a little overrated, and I think you can sit him in small ballparks.
I would like to, you're welcome, Chris Archer fans and owners. We needed to have a little bit of a, Chris Archer is overrated. Chris Archer is not
a
top 20 starting
overrated.
Pitcher, and now he's going to catch on fire.
A little overrated, and he's borderline top 20.
Just to actually engage with the substance of what Adam's saying instead of just trolling.
I'm not trolling. I was trying to get Adam to go off on Chris Archer.
Somebody's got to take some give some,
there
some
we
takes
go.
Here. Okay,
13.5 fantasy points per start over 32 starts is 432 fantasy points. I'm pretty sure that would have made him a top 25 starting pitcher last
That's
year.
Fine. That I am absolutely saying he's a top 25 starting pitcher. Absolutely.
Right, but that's just on the road.
Yeah, right. He's a must start at home. On the road, like I don't think that it's an obvious start at Yankee Stadium against that lineup. I don't think it's an obvious start in Fenway Park against that lineup. He's just honestly, he gives up too many home runs, and his ERA has been high 2 straight years.
His fantasy points on the road last year were comparable to the full season totals of Yu Darvish, Trevor Bauer, Jose Quintana, and Lance Lynn last season.
All guys who had disappointing seasons and
right,
did
but
not
that's,
perform
but
like
that's him at,
starts.
No, but that's him at his that's him at the bad point. Those are guys you start.
I know. I'm just saying I don't think that at home, yes, he's an automatic start. And if you need strikeouts, then he's
but
an
I'm
automatic
only talking
start.
About on the road.
I am talking about that. Why can't we just accept that, you know, that maybe you sit him? He's homer prone. He gives up too many homers, and that hurts his numbers.
I don't.
Why
you're
are
not
we ignoring
him
that?
In points.
Well, then sit him in categories leagues. I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe, because he might screw up your ERA. But that's the only thing he's going to hurt you in, even if he does poorly.
No, he's not,
still
a,
get
he's not a good whip guy. Archer's not a good whip guy. Like, I think that we've given him a little bit of a free pass for the last 2 years, because we know how talented he is. But
I think
the numbers are the numbers.
You're also overstating the case.
Let me tell you what he was. Okay, I'll tell you what he was last year, Chris Archer. I think it might surprise you how low he finished. This is my hold music. It's the Odd Couple theme song for some reason. All right, Chris Archer was number 30. He was a number 38 pitcher in fantasy last year. I mean, like,
in Roto?
Yeah, in both. He had a 4.02 ERA. He had a 1.24 WHIP. He was 9-19. That's bad. But honestly, I don't know that his one loss record.
These are 2016 numbers.
Yeah.
No, I have him in. Really?
Yeah. He was 9-19 in 2016. Last year, he was 10-12. He had similar ratios, so it may not be a lot different, right, except he didn't lose 19 games, which we shouldn't expect him to lose 19 games.
He was the number 17 starting pitcher in points in 2017.
All right, well, that's basically what I see him as, but Godley, I think, could be better than that and more reliable. And honestly, like, I don't think that sitting him on the road is such a bad thing. That means that you get the best of Chris Archer without the frustrating Chris Archer.
Well, but it's not just sitting him. Because you can't just take 0 points. So you're going to be streaming his spot in the rotation he's on the road?
Not whenever.
And maybe you will. Some weeks, you can average 13, 14 fantasy points per game from your streaming starting pitcher. It's not an unrealistic goal. But I don't think you can do it all season long consistently.
Okay. Fair enough. Just wanted to get that out there. All right, I got a sneaky buy low candidate for you. I want to know if you agree. But Draft, the Draft app. Guess what? Challenged the listeners yesterday. First place, no big deal. Took home a nice $4 winning yesterday. We play for a buck, a five-person contest. I'll do another one today. I'll throw out a challenge a little bit later. Follow me on the Draft app at Big Kane 2. That's my name, Big Kane 2. So let's see, my team yesterday. Oh, I won $450, pardon me. Scherzer, Trevor Story, Matt Carpenter, Rhys Hoskins, and Michael Conforto. Didn't take much to win yesterday. It was kind of a low-scoring game. I guess the studs kind of disappointed, but... Scherzer obviously was great. So yeah, it's a snake draft. I think I had the fifth pick of this draft, so out of five. So obviously I had the sixth pick as well. It's a lot of fun. When you sign up for Draft and you make your first deposit, use the promo code FB today and you'll get into a real money game for free by using the promo code FB today. Look, if you don't play daily fantasy, just give it a shot. Download the Draft app. Again, use that promo code FB today. When you make your first deposit, you get into a game for free. And you sign up, you just play in a two-person, up to 10-person draft. It's really easy. You look at the night slate, you see the players that you want, one pitcher, two infielders, two outfielders. The drafts are very quick. They take just a few minutes, usually 30 seconds on the clock in between picks. You probably won't need all that time. So don't be intimidated by it at all. I really, really love it. It's super fun. I know you're going to love it. And again, the promo code on Draft is FB today. Download the Draft app or play on draft.com. Sneaky buy low. Agree or disagree? Garrett Richards. That's all. Garrett Richards.
I thought you were going to give a case for buying him low. I think one could be made.
Considering it. But would you like me to?
My problem with Garrett Richards remains the same. I was unconvinced at the beginning of the year that he was going to pitch deep into games regularly or at all. And he's only going to pitch once a week because of the six-man rotation. And I think that gives you a really small margin for error as a starting pitcher that's not a top 20 or top 25 guy.
I think he's got top 10 talent for sure. I mean, what he showed in 2014 and 15, the problem is he's thrown 70 innings over the last two seasons, 60 innings over the last two seasons, and now he doesn't look right. And toss that in with the fact that he's only pitching once a week. And I don't know how low you're going to be buying. If someone drops him, I'll definitely pick him up. I think the upside's there.
Yeah.
How low are we? I guess I'd rather have him than Jake Junis.
Yeah. Well, I think you could easily make that trade right now if that's what you
want. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I have Junis about six spots ahead of him, but they're in the same tier-ish range.
Yeah. I don't consider Garrett Richards a top 20 pitcher, but you know, he's got, as of now, through three starts, He's got what he says a mechanical problem. His arm is dragging, and the walks are the issue right now. But one of the best ground ball rates of his career and a career high swinging strike rate. So if he can fix his mechanics and get the walks under control, he has 12 walks in 15 innings. He's, you know, you look at his career and the walks per nine after his first two seasons, usually pretty solid, maybe around three. Not a terrible walks guy. So I think he can get that fixed. That's my case. That I guess you look at the peripherals, which are a little, you know, after three starts, peripherals can be deceiving. But so far, the peripherals are good for Richards. He's just walking everybody, and I don't really think he's a walk guy. So that was my case for him as a buy low. But yeah, you're not as a top 30 guy, definitely not.
And yeah. Like a lot of his peripherals do look impressive. He's got a 5.7 FIP, though.
Why do you think that is? Because of all the walks?
12 walks in 15 innings.
Which is terrible.
Right, and that's just my point, is that I think that he says it's mechanical. If he fixes it, then I think, you know, could be.
Well, and also, not just the walks even. He's been pretty fortunate on balls in play and in terms of sequencing. He's got an 86% strand rate, 257 BABIP against.
All right. Let's get – all right, here's what we're going to do. We got 20 minutes left or so, 25 minutes. Got Team Name Tuesday to get to. Going to look at some potential steal sources. Talk about the weekend stuff, like I mentioned, just some fringy starting pitchers. Try to preview today's games, and I do want to read some emails. But first, I got the drop-o-meter and the worry-o-meter. Pronounced differently for some reason. The drop-o-meter. Let's get 0 to 10. Are these guys drops? 93% owned? Yoan Moncada, who I will point out has not even attempted a steal and only stole 3 bases in 54 games last year. Yoan Moncada, where is he on the drop-o-meter?
0.
2.
Okay. How about on the steals-o-meter? Where is Yoan Moncada?
0 so far.
It's so weird. He was a guy who attempted like 70 steals per 150 games in the minors, and now he's just not going to run at all? I have a hard time buying that, so we'll see.
I mean, it could be a philosophical thing with the team, but that doesn't make any sense because Tim Anderson came out and said they told me to run.
Right, right.
It's also a situation where, I mean, he's got 4 singles all year long. He's got 7 walks, so he's been on first base 11 times. Who knows how many times there was somebody on second.
That's a lot of times to not have an attempt. And it's also last year, 54 games, 5 stolen base attempts, 3 steals. I agree that you can't drop Moncada. I mean, I want him in a roto league. There's no way I'm dropping him. But if he doesn't steal, then it's very disappointing. And it's concerning.
For sure.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, drop-o-meter on Jason Kipnis, 70% owned.
9.
So I guess there's no
confirmation bias?
I guess there's no carryover effect from spring training. Between Jason Kipnis and Shohei Ohtani, can we just kill spring training carryover effect ever?
You can't kill it. Can certainly downplay it, but sometimes there is. But I look, everybody on the Indians is struggling right now, so should that matter? You know, Lindor.
It's been really cold everywhere they've played so far, right. So that probably matters.
So 0 to 10, 0 to 10, like, on Kipnis.
5, 8.
I think at this point, if you're holding on to Kipnis, it's because you think there's upside, right? And I don't know that there's that much, but.
I would like to know how much more is he owned than Asdrubal Cabrera?
About, it was Drubal's 45% and Kipnis is 70.
Yeah, I think all those people should probably drop Kipnis for Cabrera.
Ryan Zimmerman, 90% owned. The guy who basically skipped spring training. Did not take any Cactus League. Is he in the Cactus? No. Grapefruit League?
Grapefruit.
At bat. Did he take like 2 at bats or something? He worked on fields by himself, whatever. Ryan Zimmerman is off to a terrible start. He's batting 0.97. Drop-o-meter.
It's weird.
7?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. Nothing about him makes sense. The spring or this.
And last year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year at least we had the like, oh, he changed his swing. He was finally healthy. This year, like, he wasn't playing in spring games, but he was healthy. It just, nothing really added up there.
He had a 1382 OPS in his first 30 games and an 813 OPS in his last 114 games. Ryan Zimmerman, who plays a very deep position. So what was the number for Zimmerman on the drop?
7.
Chris?
7.
All right, Kyle Schwarber, 0 to 10 on the drop-o-meter.
Nah. One.
Yeah.
One.
I'm not dropping him.
All right, let's keep an eye on if he plays against lefties. So far, he is 1-for-8 with a double and 3 strikeouts, but he has played against 2 of 3 lefties, I believe.
Luckily for him, everyone on the Cubs, most everyone on the Cubs has been awful.
I think Cubs-Indians was my World Series pick, and they can't hit.
Hold you!
Cole Calhoun is 78% owned, 0 to 10.
Four.
Four?
Yeah, 5.
10! Who the hell do you need Cole Calhoun for?
Well, maybe because you have Kyle Schwarber on your bench and you're just waiting for him to do something.
And you're starting a guy who's batting 217 with one home run?
It's 11 games.
He's not that good. He's
fine.
Over-owned.
You gotta look at, like, nobody owns Cole Calhoun in a 10-team league. So we can't let that affect it.
You'd drop him for Chu, wouldn't you?
Yes, currently I would.
All right. I think, you know, maybe people are hoping to see the home runs go up since they lowered the wall in right field. So if you want to wait a little and see if that happens, sure, for Cole Calhoun. Tyler Glass now, 27% owned, 0 to 10.
8?
Yeah. Yeah, I still believe. I want to see him get a rotation spot, but he doesn't have one. So if you need to go add somebody, he's an easy drop.
Do you think he's going to get... They have such a bad rotation.
I think he'll get a shot at some point, but I also feel like the longer this goes with him just pitching a couple innings at a time, the longer it's going to take to get him stretched out.
Sure. Right. Yeah, they'll probably have to put him in the minors or something for a few weeks. All righty. Eduardo Nunez, 0 to 10 for Nunez.
0.
The home run was bogus.
It was bogus.
It was not even a real home run.
You remember it, Heath?
That's 100% true.
It was a
home run. Single.
Heath has no recollection of the home run.
I tell you what, most of the guys on this list don't score on that ball, but he's so fast that he did.
Eduardo Nunez, I don't even know if it was a single. I think it should have been an out. Actually, I might be misremembering, but, yeah, he has a home run. It was an inside the park home run. It was stupid, but he's off to a bad start. Pedroia, you know, Bogarts and Pedroia are both out right now, but they could be back within 3 weeks.
I'm not dropping him.
All right, he's a 0. That's fine. That was an easy one. Let's go to the worryometer now. I don't think we need to put Chris Archer on here anymore. So let's
zero.
Start.
100!
0.
Let's start with John Gray. John Gray with a bad start at Coors Field against the Padres. And last year, he was a run better at home than he was on the road. If you look at ERA. Worryometer on John Gray.
0.
Yeah, 1.
Okay. So buy low.
I don't think you can after a Coors start, but sure, if you could, I would buy low on him. I'd rather have John Gray than Jake Junis.
It would rely on the person who owns John Gray not knowing who John Gray is. You know, like yeah. That. I'm not sure that's a safe bet.
Worryometer on Joey Votto.
-700.
Okay.
0.
Worryometer on Francisco Lindor.
-700.
0.
I'll just play devil's advocate.
Good.
I'm not worried about Lindor. I am worried that he's going to be able to hit as well as he hit last year. Because it was really a 40-game streak where he had a 10.57 OPS. He actually was disappointing for the first 119 games. 7.72 OPS, only 8 steals. It is nice that Lindor already has 3 steals in 4 attempts. But I'm a little worried, and I was a little worried about this coming into the season. He's not going to live up to last year's numbers.
I think there's some reason to be concerned about that. On the other hand, he was weirdly unlucky in the first half last year. I think his BABIP was really low. He was hitting a bunch of home runs, which wasn't really expected. And then in the second half, he ended up doing both. And that's why I'm kind of not worried about it.
I do think Lindor is just a great player. He'll be awesome one way or the
other.
He'll
be fine. Yep.
Jose Ramirez, worryometer.
0.
I guess I'll say 2 just because he doesn't have the track record of some of the other guys. Last year was such an outlier for him.
One thing Ramirez does have, 8 walks and 2 strikeouts. That's always a good sign when a player is struggling. Mm-hmm. And similar, Andrew Benintendi, batting 161, 9 walks, 4 strikeouts, but he's 0-for-7 with 3 walks against lefties. Worryometer on Benintendi.
0-0-0. He has twice as many walks as he does strikeouts, and he has a 185 BABIP.
Okay.
Depends. Did I draft him 40th overall? Then I'm pretty worried. But I was worried that he was going to return value on that before. So this start hasn't really changed that for me.
Alex Bregman, 0 to 10.
I mean, he got a walk-off hit the other day. I don't know what we're worried about.
I thought Chris was just going to say same.
No, I like Bregman more than Benintendi, so I'm less worried about him.
That makes sense. I like the transparency. I could almost say same, because he's got an 18% walk rate, 10% strikeout rate, and a 200 BABIP.
Well, the big difference between Benintendi and Bregman for me is I think Bregman's a little faster, and he doesn't have the lefty issues. Andrew Benintendi, I think at this point, he has to prove he can hit lefties for me to believe it.
Yeah, I think that could hold him back from being, you know, a true big-time breakout. He could still be really good if he just does what he normally does against righties and a little bit better. But, yeah, the lefty thing is interesting for Benintendi. So for 7.
People were drafting him ahead of Christian Yelich last season. And I think you're hoping he develops into Christian Yelich. And then that's the thing for me, is Christian Yelich has already proven he can do that against lefties. Benintendi hasn't.
Okay, guys, I hope everybody is watching CBS Sports HQ. It is, I'm really proud of the guys and the girls, everybody that put this together in the Fort Lauderdale office. CBS Sports HQ is 24/7 live streaming sports information, okay? It is news, scores, and highlights. It's all sports, okay? It's very comprehensive, and it's free, and it's always on. 24/7, it's free. Download the CBS Sports app. You can do it on your phone or on Apple TV, on Roku, any other connected devices. Watch online at CBS Sports HQ if you want to just take a look at what it's all about, and then you can download it and watch it on your OTT device. I think you're going to really love it. CBS Sports HQ, it is outstanding, and I'm sure you will see Heath and Chris on there. Maybe me someday. You never know. Time for Team Name Tuesday. They came out swinging. They gave me a lot. Here we go. Anytime I say you, by the way, it's always a Yu Darvish team name. This is a very grim one. You Hap to Nukem. Very hawkish. All right, next one. New phone, Junis.
I like it.
That was great. Soria, not Soria.
Yes.
Me Bundies.
What?
Me Bundies, like Me Undies.
Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of our sponsors. Fat Bottom Gurriels.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nukem on the Block. Piazza Party.
Yes.
Chew Before Eaten. That's good. Chew Before Eaten. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is good.
Matt Albers. Hey, hey, hey. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Upton Girl.
You are correct, sir.
Got my suit and tie on. Okay, Dynasty League owner of Sixto Sanchez has From Sixto Midnight.
What if you draft Hunter Pence and you go with Sixto Pence, none the Richard?
That's Sixto Midnight. From Sixto Midnight is much better and very inappropriate. Here's. Did you just get it, Chris?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. From Sixto Midnight, that's the best one so far. Oh, Otani Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, yep. Punk's Otani Phil.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Nice little Groundhog Day reference. And Grandolph the Gray.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good. Good batch. Good batch, everybody.
No, solid work, everyone.
I had to do some Googling because of how old I am, but now I'm shocked in you, Azer.
What, the Sixto one?
Yeah.
I think it's okay. I think it's acceptable. Look, most people didn't even know what it meant.
Yeah.
So.
2/3 of the podcast for sure.
Do you think we've got some unlikely steal sources here? Didi Gregorius, 2 steals in 3 attempts. He stole 3 in 4 attempts last year. Nolan Arenado, 1 steal in 2 attempts. Rhys Hoskins, 2 steals in 3 attempts. Didi, Arenado, Hoskins. Do you think maybe we can get 10 to 15 from any of these guys?
I doubt it.
All right. I'm interested in Didi. Seems like he's picking up his game. Dude, he's got 9 walks and 3 strikeouts.
Best player on the Yankees, just like we all said.
He might be like a huge breakout. Or maybe just kind of backing up what he did last year. Okay, anyway, Craig Gentry had 2 steals on Sunday against the Yankees. He has 3 this year. Nick Goodrum for the Tigers. I don't think he's going to play much, but he has 3 steals. Rajay Davis, 8% owned. He started yesterday. He stole a second base. If you want steals, get Rajay Davis. That's pretty much all I got there.
Oh, don't leave the last one off. It's the one I'll agree with.
Yeah, but it's obvious. Tim Anderson, he's got 5 steals. We already mentioned him.
How about one more who stole 2 bases last night?
Who that?
Malik Smith. If he gets an everyday job or something close to it, he's going to steal a lot of bases. He's got, I think, around 30 and about 500 plate appearances in his major league career. So there is legitimate stolen base upside there.
He had 4 hits and 2 steals yesterday, huh?
Yeah. Good game, Malik Smith. We don't know if he can hit in the majors yet. He's a career 250 hitter. He strikes out too much for not having any power whatsoever. But if he can hit like 270, that'll play.
Okay, fringy starting pitchers. Tell me who you like on this list, and let's speed it up. These guys are owned in 65-79% of leagues. Kevin Gausman, Marco Estrada, Lance Lynn. Nice start yesterday. Did walk 4, but 5 scoreless innings, 9 strikeouts against the Astros. Lance Lynn. Gausman, Estrada, Lynn, Julio Teheran, surprisingly solid yesterday. Jake Faria. Ugh. Zach Davies, Michael Wacha, Steven Matz. Who stands out?
Definitely Lance Lynn, because he looked like a disaster start of the season, and the 4 walks in 5 innings is still going to catch up to him eventually. Houston does have a lot of hitters that swing and miss, but this is still really encouraging.
He's your favorite? You'd rather have him over Estrada, over Gausman?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Lance Lynn over Kevin Gausman, huh?
I have not. I've been pretty down on Gausman most of the year, I think.
Okay.
So the Astros have the second highest strikeout rate in baseball so far, after having the lowest last year, and after being, I think, the highest the year before.
I think they went worst to first, and now they're going back to worst.
So
well, that's the Astros have a lot of players that strike out a lot.
My question before the season, and I never really got an answer, was whether team-wide strikeout improvements to that extent tend to stick, because we saw not just new players coming in like Carlos Beltran and Josh Reddick, who didn't strike out much, but also Carlos Correa, George Springer, guys like that really improving their strikeout rates. It's going to be interesting to see whether they can improve from where they are right now or not.
I hope Kevin Gausman can kind of break out this year. I know he was a trendy sleeper pick, but I just will caution. He was fine against the Yankees on Friday, only struck out 3, but didn't get crushed. 2 runs in 5 innings. So bad in April, so be patient there. And Faria is 67% owned. He's off to a terrible start. I didn't mean to start him in one of my leagues, but I left him in my lineup. I hope maybe the commissioner will let me remove all of his stats, but probably not. The Tampa Bay Times said this about Jake Faria. Quote, "There has been concern since spring training, some implied, some whispered, that Faria, 24, came in too casual, too cool, too something after the success he had after his June 2017 debut." End quote. So
would you like to know? Would you like to know something surprising about Kevin Gausman?
Yeah,
he was pretty good on Friday.
He was all right,
and he threw his splitter a bunch.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Funny how that works.
Yeah, remember I stayed for 12 innings of that game out of 14. All right. I think pretty much done with the pitchers. What do you think about Liriano and Urania? Liriano and Urania.
I like Liriano more because he's a Sparp, and that's the only way I would use him.
Before we get into today's games, let's read some emails. I haven't done a good enough job getting the emails in. We're getting a ton of them, so I hope you all are patient listening till the end. This is an email from Trip. Grade the trade. Give Rizzo and Darvish. Hates the Cubs. Give Rizzo and Darvish. Get Yelich, Sano, and Carlos Martinez.
I like it.
I don't...
B+.
Thank you. I don't think you really know how to play the games that I put on here, Chris Towers.
So Rizzo and Darvish.
7.
Rizzo and Darvish for Sano, Yelich, and Carlos Martinez.
I think Martinez and Darvish is pretty much a wash.
So
I don't think I would trade. I don't think I'd trade Rizzo for Yelich and Sano. So no, I'll say C-.
Email from Matthew. Where would you rank Mike Minor in your starting pitcher ranks?
Let's scroll down.
Oh, he's not starting pitcher eligible, that's why.
Right. I'm just 69.
Okay.
Nice.
Sixto Midnight. And
that's right at the Matt Harvey line.
Oh. Yeah, I'd rather have him than Matt Harvey.
Chris would probably rather have anybody than Matt Harvey. Can't say I blame you right now. This is Mike from Hope Mills, North Carolina. I want to like Tyler Chatwood, but the walks worry me. Should I drop Tyler Chatwood for Sean Newcomb?
Hey.
Yes. John from Cincinnati. Hey, real quick, who would you rather own rest of season, Ozzie Albies or Ronald Acuna?
Acuna.
I don't know. Acuna, I guess. I mean, like, Albies is doing it in the majors. Acuna probably has more upside, but, like, what's the context? Are you dropping Ozzie Albies?
No, just a question. Who would you rather have?
Acuna. Just somebody offered you Ozzie Albies for Ronald Acuna.
Was I supposed to answer that? Yeah, I don't know. All right.
I need a second baseman?
This is from Rosenda. I feel like this is an obvious question, but should I look into dropping Felix Hernandez? Is it worth a shot hoping he can at least give me a 3-something ERA?
I think he can give you a 3-something ERA, but if there's somebody out there on waivers who you hope can do more, like Sean Newcomb, I'd rather have him.
Agreed.
All right, listen, emailers. I'm going to try to take some time this afternoon to reply to a bunch of them. I do apologize for not reading more on the air. Let's get to today's games. Today's games is a hit segment. More day games. We got Blake Snell at Carson Fulmer. Start either one of these guys, Snell at Fulmer?
Start Snell.
Yeah, I'm starting Snell for sure.
Ivan Nova at Tyler Chatwood.
I'll start Chatwood.
Yep.
All right, Matt Boyd at Josh Tomlin.
I will pass on both.
Yep.
Tomlin sneaky? No?
Too risky? I mean, he could have a fine start, but I don't see why you have to start him right now.
He was available in a couple of different leagues, and he's a 2-start pitcher this week, and I didn't even pick him up in that format.
Reds at Phillies. Homer Bailey at Aaron Nola.
Start Aaron Nola.
Okay. Mike Foltynewicz at Steven Strasburg.
Start Straws. I don't think I'm starting Folty.
I know Folty's had a nice start to the season, but he's still not getting a lot of swinging strikes, so I'm not buying it yet.
All right, he did pitch very well against the Nationals last time out, but it is risque. Or just risky, not risque. Blue Jays Orioles, Aaron Sanchez at Andrew Cashner.
I will start Sanchez.
Begrudgingly.
I mean, are you guys excited for Yankees, Red Sox, Severino, Chris Sale? Are you excited for that?
No.
Like, if you're not excited
to root for the Red Sox.
If you're not excited about that, it's because you hate either the Yankees or the Red Sox or both. But as a baseball fan.
Yes.
As a baseball fan, how are you not excited for this game?
I mean, it'll be fun to watch. Is this at home? It's not at home for the Yankees, but Stanton will still get booed.
Oh, yeah. Stanton's going to catch. There will be signs that say something about 5 strikeouts, I'm sure. I'm not overly excited about it though.
All right. Well, you should.
And I do hate the Yankees, so that I think your hypothesis is correct.
Jacob DeGrom at Carson Smith. DeGrom, yes, Smith though. Tyler Skaggs at Martin Perez. Skaggs, yes. Perez, no.
Skaggs, probably. Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry. I guess I jumped the gun.
We're weirdly way bought in on Tyler Skaggs on this podcast, and I'm not sure I'm on board. I feel like the Tyler Skaggs bandwagon has picked up a little bit too much momentum. And I just want to note that I'm not quite jumping on.
I feel that. I like Tyler Skaggs, but I don't fully trust him. I don't know that it's a tough matchup, though. You know, a lefty going against the Rangers. No Odor, but kind of reduces Gallo a little bit. Beltre hasn't been hitting. I don't know. I am starting him, but 2-start week. Dallas Keuchel and Jake Odorizzi. Keuchel, yes. What about Odorizzi against the Strohs?
No. Nope.
Brent Suter, Carlos Martinez. Start Suter?
No.
More like Sitter.
Yeah. I don't. It's not as bad a spot as he was in last week because that's a good ballpark for the type of pitcher that he is. but probably not.
Felix Hernandez, Eric Skoglund or Skoglund?
Yep.
I don't mind starting Felix here. I know I'm very much in the minority on that one, but it's a good matchup.
Yeah, it's a good matchup in terms of win potential. It's a good matchup in terms of probably ratios. It's probably
not.
You probably
won't get a lot of strikeouts. Yeah.
Nope.
And Joey Lucchesi at Tyler Anderson. We're gonna sit these guys at Coors. Sean Manaea at Hyunjin Ryu. Interesting matchup here, guys.
I'm starting Manaea.
Yeah, I'll start Manaea.
Diamondbacks and Giants. Patrick Corbin, Johnny Cueto.
Start them both.
All right. Can't wait to talk about selling high on Cueto after another good home start. That'll be three home starts for Cueto after tonight. I'm actually trying to sell him before this game in case it goes horrible.
I'm going to make you an offer very shortly.
Please do. For Chris and Heath, I'm Adam. Talk to you Wednesday. Great to trade.